you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We want to begin reading in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We'll stop reading there. Let's pray. Father, we need tonight the filling of your Spirit. Father, we pray that you would help us tonight to preach the oracles of God with an ability that only you can give. Father, I do pray as we dive into the Scripture tonight that you'd help us, Lord, that we'd be able to go deep and yet explain it perfectly tonight, crystal clear to the heart and the soul of each individual believer. And should there be a lost man or a lost woman present, God, I pray the Holy Ghost tonight would convict that heart and draw them to a place of salvation before it's eternally too late. Lord, we do pray for our nation. God, we ask that you'd bless it, Father. Forgive us, for we have failed you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. What is your spiritual gift? According to the Scripture, every individual believer has been given a gift from God, a spiritual gift. And this spiritual gift is not just salvation. Salvation is an eternal gift of God. We praise God for that. But this spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that God gives to you. There are six sign gifts. I do not believe any of them exist today, presently. I want us to look tonight then at the service gifts. This first one found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and in verse number 10 is the discerning of spirits. Now some of you say, ooh, I got that. I can pick a bad apple out every single time, Richard Aaron. You're judging a book by its cover. You don't have a spirit of discernment. That's judgment, okay? You can judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. But when he's speaking about discernment of spirits, I think about Simon Peter. He had discernment. In Acts chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. You see, the Holy Ghost gave Simon Peter a gift, the discernment of spirits, and he knew that Ananias had lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost about what you gave? You've been telling everybody that you gave this big gift
that people might be impressed with you, and you didn't give it. You pocketed it. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. And Ananias tried to act like he hadn't done it, and we know he did because God killed him. That's the discernment of spirits. Paul had it too in Acts 27. You remember he got on board the boat. He said in Acts 27:10, as they were getting ready to sail, he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." I believe the Holy Ghost showed him something, said, "You better not take this voyage. This is going to be a bad deal." Have you ever been fooled? Have you ever been scammed? Have you ever been deceived? 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And he gives us a litmus test. So the discernment of spirits that I would have would be based on the Scripture's content, upon doctrine, and upon truth. But there have been times that God specifically showed me something about somebody. Showed me. I can't lie. And man, that happened just exactly like he said. I'm glad I don't do that all the time. I know good and well when God dealt with me about preaching that I saw people falling into a pit. I heard the screams. I smelled the stench. It still bothers me. It tormented me. Had it for a year. It was awful. And finally, I finally ran up that white flag of surrender to the Lord to preach. And I thought, thank God I'll never have that dream again. And that very night I peeled my head and I had that dream. But nobody was falling into the pit, but a thing came out of the pit. And it roared at me. And I was so afraid. And as I began to back away from it, a hand caught me and said, "Be not afraid. This is what you will stand against. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Every step of the day. Every step of the way." And I can take you to a place in Jackson County, North Carolina, where I was preaching. And I saw a young lady that I'd had this vision about falling off into the pit. And I saw her as I preached to her. And I saw her as she made her way to the altar. And I knelt with her there and asked her if she'd been saved. And I heard her confess that she was a sinner. And I heard her call on the name of Jesus. And no more did she fall in that pit. And I have been in places where I saw faces that I'd seen that night. And I've seen them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I cannot say that's a closed office. But I do not know that I have that gift, amen. But there are things God shows me, and it makes me fear, and it makes me tremble. And surely amongst this congregation, there's been some of you that God has showed you certain things, but the discernment of a spiritual matter, yes, you knew exactly how you felt led to go. That is a spiritual gift. And one that you and I do not exercise or use often enough. The second one I want to look at tonight, I want to look at again over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want us to look at verse 28 where we see the word helps. This word is the word diakonos. It means the ministry. You will also find in the book of Romans chapter number 12. I want to compare this word, diakonos, to Romans chapter 12 in verse number 6, where he says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry." The word in verse 7, ministry, again is the word diakonos. When I think of the word diakonos, it literally means to aid or to help. It is a word which means to serve. When I think about that tonight, as I studied, I thought about Jesus' words about the servant in the book of Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at verse 25. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That is a word which means servant. In fact, it's really a word which means busboy, cleaning up messes. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. When Jesus came, he came to serve. He laid down his life that you and I might live. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He is a servant. If he was a servant, you and I certainly need to learn to be servants. So there is a gift in ministry. There is a gift of helps. Preacher, what are you getting at? In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, we meet a lady by the name of Tabitha. In Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Tabitha was a follower of Christ. And look what she did. She was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, saith, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, I'm not studying about the healing or the miracle that took place here. I want to study quickly about the gift of ministry that Tabitha had. Do you see, even after she died, the good works that she did would have been left behind. The coats and all the things that she did. And I got to thinking about the helps of the ministry and how that people get involved in service and helping one another. There is a real gift that God gives to some believers to help folks in the ministry, to help folks in the church, to help folks in their walk with the Lord. I want to look at another one here in Romans chapter 16. And verse number 1, look what Paul says. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a securer of many, and of myself also. You see, this woman had been a help to many in the church. And Paul says, not only was she a help to many in the church, many of the saints that served there, but he said, she was a helper to me. She had a gift that God gave her. When God gives you that gift, it's always on your heart to try to find a way to help somebody, to pray for somebody, to be involved with helping somebody. I do think about the deacons in the book of Acts chapter 6. Those men, those seven deacons, were men, according to Acts 6:3, that they were men of honest report. In other words, they had a good relationship to their fellow man. And then they were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They had a good relationship to God and a good relationship to the Scriptures. I believe that a deacon can be gifted to be a real servant. But not all deacons are. Amen, preacher. I've seen a lot of deacons be nothing more than a hindrance. I've seen them be nothing but a boulder in the middle of the stream. And God just go right around them. Preacher, you're going to make me mad because I'm a deacon. Don't be a boulder. Be a servant. Be a helper. Well, I got elected, didn't I? That didn't mean the Holy Ghost gave you the gift. It may have meant, well, we didn't have the discernment of spirits when we voted for you. Well, we didn't have it when we voted for you as pastor either. Amen. I want to give you 10 observations God gave me. A servant that's gifted with the spiritual gift of helps or ministry always recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet them. You cannot tell me that you are gifted with the gift of helps and I recognize a need, but I don't do anything about it. Someone who has the gift rises up quickly to meet the need. They are committed to seeing things through. They have a willingness to perform manual labor. They become very detailed and they get organized. They show hospitality. They're always more interested in meeting the needs of others than of self. They always tend to do more than they were ever asked by God to do to start with. It seems that a person that has the gift of helps, their actions are greater than their words. Tabitha was not known by her words. She was known by her works or by her helps or by her ministry, by her servant's heart. Her actions went before her. When you thought of Tabitha, you didn't think about her words. She was few of words, but she was great in her works. A person who has the gift of helps does not care about leading. They do not care about being noticed. They don't want recognition. They're not jockeying for position to push one out to lift self up. They just want to get it done. A lot of times they won't even ask others to get involved. They just go do it. And I want to say this to you tonight, church. Don't wait for your pastor to say so-and-so needs a meal or such-and-such needs to be done. I mean, if God really has gifted you with the gift of helps and of ministry, when God lays somebody on your heart, you don't even call the preacher. You just go and do it. But the reason I want to call the preacher is I want the preacher to know. If God told you to do something, you don't have to check with the preacher. A person who's gifted with the gift of helps is always looking, praying for the opportunity to help someone else. Lord, give me a keenness, an awareness, a sensitivity, a discernment, a comprehension, an understanding of somebody that's in need. Person that has the gifts of helps, you'll see their actions. You'll also know where they've been involved because they're a prayer warrior. God always gifts that person with a certain level of prayer and their commitment to it. That's the way they've got the gift and they know it. You see, that person with the gift of helps knows where the secret's in. It's in prayer. Stay close to God. Close to his heartbeat, you'll pick up on where there's a need and how to help and how to do it in a way not to hurt anybody, not to be a men pleaser, but to be a help to the body of Christ and just do it and be out of the way. Our problem is we think we have been gifted, but the gift of gab is not in spiritual gifts. We talk a lot about the work, but the workers are few. Let's look at one more. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it speaks about the gifts of governments. And here in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 8, it says it is a gift of ruling. Okay? He that ruleth. Do it with diligence. So that's the third one. So we want to think tonight about, thirdly, the gift of governments or the gift of ruling. What is this, preacher? It is the supernatural ability to lead and to administer. To be able to rule is to earnestly, diligently preside over something and protect it. It is not civil authority. It is never an abuse of authority. It is loving leadership with a true, sincere motive of serving Christ. My grandmother has always been known by her ability to sew. These are different spools of thread that came out of her sewing room. There are many of them. In fact, I have her sewing machine as well, where she's worked so tirelessly making things for us. She's not able anymore. But we have many things that showed us how much she loved us without even having to be told. The only way you can make this thread go is by leading it by your hand. You see, the gift of rulership is the ability to love somebody enough to lead them without pushing them. One of the first things I thought about is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And it is the God-given ability to lead a home or to rule in the home. And I still believe that the daddy, the husband, is the head of the household. In Ephesians chapter number 5, we do see in verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit your husband yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. You know, Christ has never pushed me. He's always led me. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Not every man will exercise the gift of ruling in his home. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says about a pastor or a bishop, verse number 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse number 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses. You're not going to be able to rule or to lead without love. I thought about what Jesus said in Luke 22. But I am among you as he that serveth. Now I want to compare that to John chapter 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What did he do for his disciples? He served them. The Son of God washed their feet. Why do we thank deacons and pastors? Why do we think that the church is there to take care of us? It is our job to take care of them. This gift of ruling is a loving leadership. It does not push. It is a love that God gives to his people. God gives the authority to lead in the home, and then God gives the authority to be a leader or a ruler or some spiritual government within the church. It is a gift. It is to manage according to the will of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the scripture says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Simon Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, that we're to take the oversight. That bishop, that pastor, that elder is to take the oversight. That is the rule. And he's to do it with a love in his heart that he has for the sheep. A couple observations and we're done. It is to manage according to the will of God. It is a challenge to organize chaos. You may be taken to a place in your life that is chaotic. If God gives you the ability to rule, then you will learn to manage according to his will in order to take the chaos to organization. and glorify God. Many people just say, I can't fool with that, man. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But a person that has the gift of rule looks at that and says, yes, Lord, I know you can. The person that has this gift, in order for he or she to have authority, they understand what it's like to be under authority. And if you're faithful in a few things, he said, I'll make you ruler over many things. In order to delegate authority to others, this gifted person will understand how to respect others. In other words, he or she is not a user of people. A person who is gifted with rulership loves people so much, he would never use them. I want you to think also that this person with this gift, they assume responsibilities even if leadership is not presently available. They will stand in the gap and take care of that until God provides that leadership. This person is a visionary person. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This person would be challenged by long-range goals and by projects, and he would guide toward focused direction to accomplish the vision God gives. This man must learn to endure criticism. Why did Simon Peter sink? What got his eyes off the Lord? Now, wait a minute. The storm was raging when he was in the boat. Could it be that the other disciples in the boat were saying, you can't do that, Simon Peter. Get back here, Simon Peter. You're going to drown, Simon Peter. You see, the winds and the waves were already raging. There was already chaos when he stepped out of the boat. What changed was the disciples started telling him he couldn't do it. And when he turned to look at them, he took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. A person who's been given the gift of rulership will have to learn that you will endure criticism when you step out of the boat and they stay in it.